Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to start our new series called Expecting the Extraordinary. And this will be part one because we know it's going to be a multi-part series. Amen. And as is my custom, before we get started into the teaching, I'd like to introduce my awesome, beautiful, wonderful, and amazing wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. What a great joy to be able to sit down and once again, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, record, share what the Lord puts in our heart, what the Word says, being able to just learn together, because I certainly hope our listeners know that as God has given us the responsibility and the privilege to share, we are the first ones to learn. We are learning so much, more and more each day, what the Holy Spirit is doing. So this is a great new series. And of course, we encourage our listeners as well to listen to the previous ones because they are amazing. You will definitely grow. And the Lord wants us not only to know Him, but also to know His ways. So I'm excited with this new series. Let's get started.
Amen. Amen. Expecting the extraordinary.
Wow.
You know, that's one of my favorite topics to talk about because we serve a God of the impossible.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, He specializes in, He loves to do the impossible. I mean, just think about it. Where did we come from? How did we get here? We are a miracle production of God's word being spoken and creating us into existence. Everything He created by the words of His mouth. And here we are in the physical form. You know, we're in this age and time of society and history where robotics and all those things are, you know, coming onto the stage where we're trying to create human life in a sense, you know, through robotics. And the technology that has taken to get this far, just to try to imitate human life, is so complex.
Right.
But God just does it like it's nothing, right?
He's God. That's why He's God.
Yeah, that's why He's God. I guess you can't be called God. Someone said recently,
that's right.
You know, you can't be called God if you can't do it, you know, if you can't do everything, right? So we know with God all things are possible.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, we're going to take our text from Mark chapter 9, verse number 23, where Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
Amen.
What do you need in your life? Do you need a miracle? Do you need a miracle in your marriage? Do you need a miracle in your finances? Do you need a miracle in your health, your job? Or, you know, say, well, brother, I really am just doing fine. I don't really need anything. Well, then maybe that might be so. God is really blessing you. You're doing very well, but you can't tell me, I don't think there's anybody on earth who can tell me that they don't know somebody who needs a miracle from God. And when we're talking about a miracle from God, we're talking about things they need that is impossible for them to achieve apart from God's intervention.
Right.
And since we serve a God who can do the impossible,
amen,
do the miraculous,
right,
we want to endeavor to try to build people's faith toward that end. Why do I say that? Because it takes faith to please God. We're told that in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So He expects us and requires of us to exercise faith to believe for Him to perform miracles in our lives.
Amen.
It's not a matter of God's able. I mean, most people know who believe in God that God is able, but it's just always a question of will He do it or not.
Right.
Well, faith is one of those things that is going to be the turnkey to operate in the Spirit to get God to move And God is a God of faith, and he set up a system of faith. Now, there's some other things we'll talk about in the course of this series. You know, obedience is very important to the process here. But what we want to focus on here, first and foremost, in this first part of this series, is faith for the miraculous.
Amen.
By believing that God wants to do miracles in people's lives, that he loves to do miracles.
That's right.
That is his nature. And we're going to, you know, use these scriptures here. So let's go to this passage of scripture. We've talked about this before in some other series, but we're going to pick up this again because there's much more to add to this. So we have a situation here in Mark chapter 9. We're going back up here to verse number 14. This was after they had came down from the mountain where Jesus was transfigured, and Peter and John, James and John, had saw Jesus transfigured along with Elisha and Moses appearing to them. And it says in verse 14, and when they came down, when they came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around him, and the scribes disputing with him. That was the other disciples that were there waiting for them to come back. It says, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, saying, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who is a mute spirit. And it's amazing to me, even the day we live in, that even in those days that Jesus walked the earth, many had an understanding that evil spirits existed and were causing conditions in people's lives and their bodies. Now, that's not to say that spirits are always doing that, but this man realized this because he said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus, of course, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. I find it interesting that the Lord did not say, well, you know what? It's not always God's will to heal. That's something we hear in a lot of churches these days. You know, we've been hearing is God is sovereign and he chooses who he wants to heal. But this kind of goes contrary to that narrative because Jesus rebuked him because of their faithlessness, the inability to get the result of getting this guy free. Now, why don't we hear a lot more of that today? You know, it's like, well, it's not politically correct or it's not a nice and kind thing to say to somebody that who's oppressed of this of the devil to say, you know, it's your lack of faith. But in essence here, Jesus, you know, he didn't bow to the pressures of society or the political correctness, if you might say, to how even some would think should act in church. You know, of course, he's the head of the church, right?
Right.
But, you know, this gospel of kindness, and it's important to be kind, but yet there is now this prevailing theme through the church world, as I've seen it in my experiences, that there's a thing called the gospel of kindness. And it's more important to be kind and not to hurt anybody's feelings than to tell them the actual truth. And faith is one of those things that people actually need to be told, that you have to have faith to believe God for miracles. You can't just sit back and say, you know, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. No, this man, he was smart enough to know,
right,
to try to attempt to bring his son to his Jesus' disciples to try to get him free, and they couldn't get the job done.
Right.
And Jesus didn't say, oh, well, sorry, this wasn't the Father's will. No, he said, oh, faithless generation, how long I'll be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.
Amen.
Well, because he expected his disciples to be able to accomplish the goal.
Right.
And so why can't we say to the church today, why aren't you getting the job done? Why aren't you setting people free? Because people need to be free. Are we living in a society where the devil went away after Jesus left the earth 2,000 years ago?
Yeah.
Or do we still have the same type of problems and same kind of evil being rampant in the earth that needs to be taken authority over?
Well,
that's
right. Well, I wanted to jump in and just mention something as you introduced the topic that God is going to continue to just do amazing things, and we should expect the miraculous, expect something spectacular. And you know what really just jumps at me with this story so far, because it has an amazing ending, that I'm sure one of the listeners or some of the listeners know someone, or maybe even has the same situation where they have a child, but they don't maybe think that God is interested, willing, or able to treat that child's condition. It may seem so far off. And I'm very encouraged today, particularly today, as we spoke about joining in with the national call for fast and prayer in favor of life, that parents step in and protect and cherish their children. So I love this story particularly because this father, he cried out to God for his child. Something was not right with his child, and he was so involved, so invested, so loving with this child that he said, "I need to make him free. Something is not right. It's obvious. I'm not just going to let it be. I'm going to fight for his life. I'm going to fight for his well-being." And of course, you'll share how the story ends, but it's a very good story because God always wins.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so true. You know, because we live in a society that doesn't value human life. As a matter of fact, it's quite telling when we have people going to jail over abusing animals, but yet you can kill a baby in the womb,
right?
And that's acceptable.
Yeah,
you know, it's a sad commentary
Very
on
sad.
Our society.
Very
and
sad.
This is something we also need to have faith for. Have faith for God's intervention. You know, we pray and we seek God's intervention, but you know, you hear this said many times that prayer changes things, and that's kind of misleading, because one is it's believing prayer, because when he says without faith it's impossible to please him, well, faith comes through prayer. But it has to be believing prayer, because that's what faith is, you know, as well as ones who will submit themselves and surrender themselves to the Lord so that they actually qualify for God to intervene on their behalf. So anyway, moving on, we'll get into more of those things later. But when we want to, you know, get back to the story here, it says in verse 20, it said they brought him, talking about the boy, to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I find this interesting. He said, I took him to your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. Now he's asking Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jesus didn't say what we would hear in a lot of churches today is, "Well, if it's the Father's will, I'll pray." You know what? You never find anywhere. This is a challenge for some of you people who, you know, love to read the Word and study the Word, and maybe you think you know the Word. But let me challenge you to this. Look for any place in the New Testament where Jesus prayed to the Father to heal somebody. Not one time. He said, "Well, what about Lazarus when he rose him from the dead?" Well, no, he prayed to the Father. He said, "I thank you that you hear me. You always hear me, but I'm praying, I'm speaking this thing for their benefit,
their sake. Yeah.
That they may know that you sent me." And did he say, "Father, please raise him up if you want to"?
No, he
commanded him to come out of the grave. You don't find one instance where Jesus ever prayed to the Father asking him to heal anybody. Why? Because it was God's will already to heal him, and Jesus knew that. And Jesus just acted on behalf of the Father.
Amen.
And spoke to the person to be made whole.
Amen.
And so instead of answering the father to say, okay, you know, we'll see how this is going to go. No, he turns it around on him when the man says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus said, if you can believe, he turns it around onto the father. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So this is what we want to endeavor to get across in this series more than anything else. There's going to be several points that we're going to make in this series, you know, about obedience and surrendering to God and learning what the promises of God are, because one is, it's very difficult to exercise faith for something if you don't know what the will of God is. You know, you need to know that the promises of God are for God to heal.
Amen.
And you need to have faith for that. But see, we also need to know God's nature and his character, that not only is he able, because it's interesting how Hebrews 11:6 says that, you know, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he's God and he's able. Really, that's how I interpret that first part, that he is God and he is able to do anything. But then it says that, you know, that you must be believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
So we need to believe that he will reward us as we're praying for your daughter.
Amen. That's,
you know, we're believing and expecting it to come to pass.
Any moment.
But we also know that it may not happen like the next 24 hours or 48 hours or 2 weeks or 2 months. Because we know other scriptures tells us about faith and patience, and how Hebrews chapter 6 talks about that those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we'll go over this scriptures later on in another part of the podcast. But faith is very vital. And first, I want to build a person's faith in God's willingness to perform miracles. God's willingness,
amen,
to do the extraordinary. I want to build your faith up for you to believe in and believe for the miraculous, because God is a miracle working God. I mean, look at it. We came out of a little tiny sperm and egg, and we are so intricately and wonderfully made, as the scripture says. And here we are, human beings, breathing and talking and speaking and doing all these things that we do. And we don't even know how we got here other than that God created us. Here
Amen.
We are.
Amen.
And as
what a great God.
As the angel told us, Sarah, when she laughed about having a child in old age, when she overheard them talking to, you know, Abraham, and she laughed about, you know, could I have a child in old age, as he was thinking. And the angel said, is anything too difficult for the Lord?
That's right.
Is anything too difficult for God, the one who created the universe, the one who created the earth and the planet and the solar system and all the things that we see, and knows the very numbers of hair on our head? We need to believe God is a God of miracle working power. And not only is he able, but he is willing. Now, we just need to know what we need to do in order to meet those conditions for those things to come to pass. And like I said, one of those things is faith. Faith. Amen. Faith in God and being a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when Jesus said, if you can believe, he turned it back onto the Father. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So he was wrestling with this doubts attacking him. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.
Amen.
Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And he arose. Well, the miracle was performed because this man brought his boy to Jesus looking for a miracle and believing that Jesus could do it. And guess what? Jesus did it. He didn't turn him around and say, you know, go home and, you know, we'll pray. And if it's the Father's will. No, this is one thing I would like to get across, you know, as well in this teaching series. is we got to get rid of all doubt and unbelief. Not only doubt that God is not able to do it, you know, if there's anyone listening to this broadcast who actually thinks that God's not able, get that out of your mind right away, because there's not anything that God can't do.
That's right.
Okay, well, there is one thing you can't do. You cannot lie. You
can't lie.
Because it's impossible for God to lie. The scripture tells us that in two different places. But as far as performing miracles, there's not any miracle that God cannot perform. But then the next question comes to the mind. But will he do it? That's where the biggest hang up is.
That's the big question.
But will he do it? And I'm telling you,
that's right.
Yes, he will. If you will believe, you will submit yourselves to him, surrender and follow his purpose. But then someone's going to come along and say, well, brother, we know people who believed and we know they died. What about that? Well, we'll talk about that in another podcast. But right now, I want to build your faith in God, being the God of miraculous.
Amen.
I want to build your faith in believing for the extraordinary. And you know what? God will do it.
Amen. He is so good like that. God loves us so much. And he wants to do it. You know, when you introduced it and you said that God wants to do it, I remember it was, oh my gosh, I think over 10 years ago, I remember very clearly one of those beautiful, intimate conversations with the Holy Spirit. And I remember the Holy Spirit clearly said to me, he said, if my children only knew how much I enjoy giving them gifts. So when you mentioned that came back up to my heart, my memory. And that is the God we serve. He wants to. And as we saw in that story with that man who said, you know, I know you can. The question is, do you want to heal me? And God is so good. Now I'm going to just quickly address the children of God. If you already belong to the Lord, you know, let's remember this. If God the Father didn't deny us the most precious, valuable person that he has, that he loves, whom is his son Jesus, why would we think that he would hold back anything else? God is so good. And as you said, you're going to be sharing and teaching also in terms of the importance of our obedience and those things. But as you said, it is so important for us to build our faith. And I want to thank God because since we're married, well, since we met, actually, I can truly say and here publicly confess that my faith has grown since we've met, because you are used by God in such a way. You know, God has really given you this, I'm going to say this, well, the gift of teaching. And it's not just teaching words, but because you are called and you are anointed, the Holy Spirit, when you share it, when you teach it, we can just feel the Word of God coming alive. We can feel the Holy Spirit. We can sense it, perceive it. We can see the Holy Spirit doing something in us. And I can say that I have truly grown in my faith since we met. So thank you very much. Thank
you. You're welcome,
yes.
Sweetheart.
And you know, with that being said, I'm just going to quickly just share this. I know time is going by quickly, but I remember, well, no, it's just not even that long ago. My daughter, those listeners that don't know, my oldest, my first daughter, she's now soon to be 38 years old. And among other things, and later on we'll share that also, but there was a very, very large growth on her right eye that I've even seen a doctor for it, and they are recommending surgery. And I was very concerned at this point because it was actually interfering with her vision. It was, you know, so big. It was so big. It just, this growth, this mass under her eyelid that just grew and kept growing. And I can tell you that last week, I don't recall the exact date, but I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to speak to that growth and cancel the growth and command it to shrink and disappear. And to the glory of God, I can share to the listeners and give the Lord glory that that growth is, I'm going to say, 85 or 90% gone. It's amazing. Just now when we were praying with her, I was looking at it again and I was like, thank you, Lord. And when that thought wants to kind of creep and say, oh, it may come back, I immediately resist the temptation of believing that lie, because we have to hold on to the truth, and that's God's word. And if he's already doing it and I'm seeing it, I'm going to hold on to the word of God and continue to praise him for what he has done. So I want to join in and encourage the listeners and build their faith. What are you believing for? What is your need? It doesn't have to be only health related. What are you believing God for? What do you feel you need to believe? As this father said, help me. Help my little faith. Help me believe more. And that's a beautiful prayer that we can ask the Lord. He Amen. Knows exactly where we are. We don't have to pretend, right? We can be very honest and say, God, I want to have that faith, but I don't have it. Help me. And the Lord is so good. He is not going to not give you the Holy Spirit. So praise God. I believe that we're going to, if not here, in this, on our walk here on the planet, when we go back home, we're going to be able to sit down and listen to all the wonderful testimonies of the people, the listeners, that will share with us what happened when they heard this recording and their faith in action, what it did for them. But we want to speak about a great miracle as well, a great miracle, and that is the one that is explained in John 3:16.
The greatest of all
the
miracles.
The greatest. Someone dead and just comes to life forever. Somebody in its darkest place and the Holy Spirit just revives that person. And what are we talking about? When you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you are dead. You are dead, because that's what God says. You are separated from God. But God does not want you to stay there in that place. So what did he do? He did what you and I could never do. Impossible. We could not save ourselves. So God the Father sent Jesus the Son to save you, to die on the cross, take your sins and my sins upon himself, pay the penalty for those sins, so that now you and I can trust him and we can have eternal life. So what is your job? What is your part? He did his part on the cross. You have to believe. You have to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that what you did was the only way that I could be saved. I accept it. Thank you. I accept your forgiveness, and I'm giving you my heart. And when a person does that sincerely, oh, hallelujah, that person is then born again and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we begin to see changes and transformation in the lives of that new believer that now becomes part of the family of God. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. And as we said, that is the greatest miracle of all.
Amen.
Is to be born again and to receive Jesus Christ as one Lord and
That's right.
And Savior.
Yeah.
And we're going to end this broadcast here, and we wanted to reiterate this point that we want you, if you haven't already, maybe you already are, but even increasing in that, because we said, the Bible says we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So we want to help to increase your faith in believing for the extraordinary.
Amen, amen.
Because God is, he can do anything.
Amen.
So why believe him just for the average thing?
That's right.
When we can believe him for miracles, because mm-hmm. he's a God of miracles. And we're going to touch base with some of these things all through the scriptures, because you go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God is performing miracles everywhere.
That's right.
He is a God of miracles, and he wants to be a miracle-working God in your life. So what is it that you need? If you don't need anything, you certainly know someone who does.
That's right.
So share this broadcast with them. Yes. And build your faith so that you can help impart faith into their lives, because it may be the very things that you share with them that's going to help change their life, for those who need to be saved as well as those who need a miracle in their life of healing, deliverance, whatever it might be. You can help them receive those miracles.
God is so good.
So we want to say God bless you and good night, and we'll talk to you the next time.
Talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.